chapter 6, verse 8, and we're going to read until the end of the chapter. And if you're in the devotional book this morning, we're in the last couple pages. But this morning we're going to be again talking about chapter 6. And I want to remind you that this coming Friday we have our Good Friday service at 6 o'clock. And we'll be celebrating also on Sunday the day of his resurrection. And this is Acts chapter 6. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and of those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Then they secretly instigated men who said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council. And they set up false witnesses who said, "This man never ceases to speak words against this holy place and the law. And we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us." And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Pray with me. Lord God, we thank you for this morning, for the time that you have given us, for this opportunity to worship you, for the opportunity to give offerings up to you. Lord, we ask that you would be glorified through our expressions of gratitude this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you have allowed us to read your word. Lord God, please speak to us through this word, through your word. We ask that the Holy Spirit would be working in us this morning, that it would guide us, that it would teach us, that it would show us your truth. Lord, show us how to use it in your honor. And we ask all these things in your name, in Jesus Christ. Amen. And you may go ahead and take a seat. The question this morning is, what distinguishes a disciple, a true follower of Jesus? What characteristics does a true follower of Jesus have? In East Texas, many people are religious. Many people go to church every Sunday. And according to what people tell me, generally when I talk to people in East Texas, it's pretty typical that they will say that they go to church, that they're Christians. But nevertheless, there are people who say they're Christian, but you usually have to ask them a little bit more. And some of them say, "Well, I'm Christian, but I'm not so Christian. I mean, I'm Christian, but I'm not a fanatic or anything." And this is usually what people say. But nevertheless, there are also people, when you start to talk to them about the idea of being Christian, there are people who typically start to say, "You know, I understand what it means to be a Christian, but I know people who are Christians, and this is what they do." And typically they start to tell me stories about a single particular person that they've met or that they knew that said that they were Christians, but their comportment, their behavior really showed that they weren't Christians. This is what makes it so difficult to share with people around us, because truly they've usually already heard somebody who said that they followed Jesus, but they weren't. And this morning, again, we're going to be looking at what characteristics make up a true follower of the Lord. It's the word most used to describe a follower of the Lord is a disciple. The word disciples itself shows up 233 times in the Gospels and in Acts. And the word disciple means to say a follower of Jesus, but someone who really follows Jesus more than anything else. And today we're going to look at some of the characteristics of these people based on a study of Stephen from this passage. Before we get started, let me tell you, or let me explain four separate levels of followers of Christ. We're going to go a little bit quickly because I don't really have a lot of time to talk about each one of them a lot. But the first level are the ones who are called disciples, or nominal disciples who are disciples in name only. They are curious followers. They sought the sensational, the miraculous, and the material. They were following him looking for miracles, but they really don't believe in him as the savior of their lives. But more, they don't accept the commitment of being a follower of the Lord. The truth is, they're going with the current. They are just following along with whatever carries them away. And they weren't willing to make the commitment of being a follower of the Lord. The second one are committed disciples, or pardon me, convinced disciples, I should say. Who are these ones? These are the ones who apparently have believed. And we see these kind of people in John chapter 8. We're not going to read it right now, but this is an example. They're believing in a very superficial way. This type of disciples, convinced disciples, they need to stay in the word of the Lord. And Jesus said, and Jesus told them that they need to listen to the word of the Lord so that they might be continuing and growing. And these are really the ones who have understood intellectually possibly, but have not taken that step of faith. I'm having a little bit of trouble with my microphone this morning. Don't exactly know what's going on, but nevertheless, these people are not of the Lord. They are not of Jesus. They have believed in him, but they have not continued in the faith. The third type are committed disciples. These are the ones who have already given their lives to the Lord. These are just like the 12 disciples, and they left everything to follow him. They gave up all of their time so that they could live with him, walk in his footsteps for the time while he was on the earth. They sought to learn from him, to be taught by him. They believed that Jesus Christ was the Savior. These are the mature and faithful disciples of the Lord. And these are not only the ones who believed, but also the ones who really turned around and started to share their faith. And mature disciples, though, that's the fourth type. Who are the mature disciples? They are the apostles, not just followers. Now they are the ones who are sent out, the ones who go out and travel the world, preaching and sharing with all the people around the world. These are the ones who are no longer technically disciples. These are now apostles. These are mature disciples. What we see in the Gospels, the 11 disciples, and then the 12th who was added later, Matthias. When we look at them, we see that they depend on the Lord. They remain in the Word of the Lord. They obey the Word of the Lord, and it bears fruit in their lives. They live a life of faith, and they bear much fruit, and they live this faithful life. Living a life of faith means that they are constantly depending on the Lord, and the fruit is being born of that faith. And then they go around showing, teaching, and demonstrating what this life looks like to others around them. These are the disciples that are reproduced in other disciples, reproduced in the lives of other people, the same fruit and the same maturity. These are the four types of disciples. We want to see here in the church mature disciples, mature believers who have taken that step of faith, who remain in the Word, who bear fruit, who stay in the Word, and who live a life of faith, teaching other people and demonstrating this to other people. Stephen was one of these disciples. He was a mature follower of Christ. this man Stephen, we know very little about him except for this this passage that we just read. He hadn't spent a lot of time in the church. He hadn't spent a lot of time knowing the Lord. No more than 3 years is what we know. But he was a man of faith, and we know that because of and we can see in chapter 6, verse 5. Chapter 6, verse 5 of Acts. Look what it says. And so they chose Stephen to be the man who passed out to the tables. And it says that he was a man. He was a man full of faith. And the first characteristic that we see with Stephen is that he was a man full of faith. This is not like a person who lives by sight. And in the Bible, we really see these two ways of living: living by sight or living by faith. Living by sight is living according to what we can taste, see, touch, feel. But someone who lives by faith really is something that transcends the superficial, the material. If you read if you read chapter 11 in Hebrews, you'll see exactly what our life of faith looks like according to the Bible. This is, and this passage says that Stephen was a person who was filled with faith. We see that he took the step of faith, and that he was changed by the faith that he had. He was affected by what the Lord was doing through him. And just as we must be, we must take this passive, take the step of faith and be transformed by the Lord. And not just this, he begins in his faith, and he continues growing, continues trusting. And in John chapter 15, we see that Jesus talks about being the vine. I am the vine and you are the branches, is what Jesus says. And what does this really mean? This means that the fact that he is the tree, and we have been grafted in to this tree. And it says, and he continues to say, if you remain in me, you're going to bear much fruit. But this is not depending on ourselves any longer. This is not depending on what we might be able to accomplish. This is depending on Jesus. A famous preacher, Carlos Spurgeon, says that saving faith is not just a deed that is done and completed in a single day. It is an act that is maintained, that is continued day by day in a person. The right disciple must continue living by faith, and it starts in your spirit, it continues, and it is completed in your flesh. This is someone who continues being obedient and doing the word of the Lord from start to finish every single day, giving every day, and following the footsteps of the Lord in everything that they do. And it must be completed, must be seen even in the breath that the disciple takes. This is something that we must be depending on the Lord always for. And we see that Spurgeon compares breath to our dependence on the Lord. Our need for air is how much we should need the Lord. And this is what we're seeing here, this ultimate necessity, this extreme need for the Lord, a dependence on Him in order to be a faithful disciple. And even more, we must look at how are we growing in our faith. If this is happening, this is something that we, as we are going through this, this is something that we have to be mindful of. How am I growing in my faith? Secondly, a follower of Jesus is one who lives in a manner controlled by the Holy Spirit. We see in verse 5 of chapter 6 that Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit. And if And if you look at chapter 7, and if you go at the end of the chapters, chapter 7, and which we'll be studying in the week, the upcoming week, it also says this about Stephen. It says that Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit, even at the end of his life, he is filled with the Holy Spirit. A follower of Jesus is someone who is controlled by the Holy Spirit. Last week we talked about this. What does it mean to live a life that is filled with the Holy Spirit? And if you see Romans chapter 8, verse 5, let's look at what it means to be said. means to be controlled and led by the Holy Spirit. And it says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. In the fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. And he says that when we come to know Christ, we no longer live in flesh. We now live in the Spirit of God. And it says, because those who are of the flesh think according to the ways of the flesh. And when you are in the flesh, you think about the natural things. But those who are in the Spirit think about the things of the Spirit, the things of God. Verse 6, because the mindset of the flesh is on death, and but the person who is thinking of the Spirit, what does it say? It's life and it's peace. This is a comparison of the life in the flesh and the life in the Spirit. And we see the contrast is so stark. We see that the mindset on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And this is obvious. If we're living in the way that we were brought up in our sinful ways, of course we can't. Of course we can't please Him. And it says in verse 8, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. You no longer live according to your sinful ways, but instead you live according to the Spirit. And then, and he goes on to say that that we might remain in the Spirit. And it says later, if you are not in the Spirit, you are not in Him. If you are a believer, you must walk in a way controlled and led by the Holy Spirit. Also, the life of a disciple is characterized by dependence on the Lord and by being filled with the Holy Spirit. Think about this morning. Think about your life this morning. The word says that Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, a follower of Jesus is one who is controlled by grace and by the grace and the power of God. And we see in verse 8, it says, and Stephen, what does it say about Stephen? A man what? Full of grace and power. The grace of Jesus. This is the same grace that characterized Jesus. And we see in Luke 2. Stephen was full of the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God. We see that the grace of God that he had encountered upon meeting, upon knowing the Lord for the first time, was now being manifested in his person. The grace of God helps us to no longer be self-sufficient. The fact is, when we're walking in our flesh, We believe that we can do it all. We believe that we are self-sufficient. But the fact is, if we are living in the grace of God, we understand that we no longer can do anything on our own. Again, this grace is a result of living according to the Holy Spirit. It helps us to see the power of God. We see that Stephen was also a man full of power here. We see that it said that there was a demonstration of the Lord's power through signs and wonders in the case of Stephen. These are actions of an apostolic or that characterized an apostle. And God gave this privilege to Stephen. But this shows also that his believers must depend on him, because Stephen had to depend on the Lord, submit to his lordship, live in the faith in order to show these signs and powers. The fact is, we don't need titles. This shows that we don't need to be called this or that. We don't need to be elevated to a high position in order for the Lord to use us and in order for the Lord to show his power through us. The interesting thing is, let's look at who Stephen is. Why him? Why was he called? And the fact is, what was his job technically? Going and taking food to the Greek widows. Really? Is that such a big deal? Is that such a high position? He was a server. He went out serving food. But the fact is, we see here that service to the Lord is not service in the way that we think about it. The fact is, when you are in the grace of the Lord, when you are in His power, everything that you do is going to show, is going to demonstrate His glory and His power. Also, we see that through our service, the grace and the gospel of the Lord will be visible to those around us. The power is what shows exactly the will of the Lord. A person who has strength, who has the power of the Lord and no grace, is going to become prideful. But we see that the person with grace and power cannot be resisted. And how is this possible? This is through taking daily communion with God. We must know God. This is the daily walk with the Lord. We see that this daily faith, this daily walk, was part of Stephen's life. The question for us this morning is, can my life be characterized by growth in the grace and power of God? Are you growing in your faith? Is your faith clear to others? Is the grace and power of Christ clear to those around you? Think about this morning. Number 4, a follower of Jesus Christ is one who is blameless in his life. Verses 9 and 10. Stephen is brought in front of these religious people, and they are debating with him. But if you look at verse 10, but they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Again, the wisdom was irrefutable. They could not resist it. They could not resist the spirit of the Lord, but they all could not resist the wisdom that was coming from his mouth. What was Stephen teaching? Obviously, no doubt it was that Jesus was the Messiah, the Savior, and only through him could they be saved and their sins forgiven. This, in turn, would make the people understand, though, that the temple was no longer necessary for sacrifices. But why were they so offended about this? Look, they have to see. We see here in the passage that they have to bribe people to go and tell the religious people that he was going to change the organized Jewish religion and that he was going to destroy the temple. He was going to do these two things. He was going to destroy the temple and change the ways and the customs of the Jewish religion. And the fact is, these people have lost the center of faith, the center of belief. It's Christ. And we see that Christ wants to give eternal life and completely transform you so that you can live for Him. And many people confuse what we believe in Christ as a religion. They think that belief in Christ is just taking one religion away in order to add another with different rules. I don't know if you've talked to someone who's not a believer before, but the first thing that they think is that you're trying to take what they believe away and replace it with Christianity. But the fact is, Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship. Religion says, this is the standard, you have to meet it, and this is what you have to do. And no, Jesus does not do this. He comes and He saves you from these standards. He saves you from these from the rules that religion sets. And also He gives you assurance of salvation, which no religion does. Let's look more at exactly what the wisdom in the spirit of Stephen, and the spirit of the Lord through Stephen looks like. The fact is that these two things that the Jewish Hellenists, the religious people, were saying against Stephen, that he would destroy the temple and that he would abolish the customs of Moses and the customs of the Jewish people. The fact is, on the contrary, Jesus said that He did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And the fact is, in addition, Jesus did talk about the fact that the temple had become a place of death and of earthly things. And He said that it would be destroyed according to the sinfulness, but never said that He would do it. These people wanted to stop the dispersal, wanted to stop the spread of the gospel. And Satan really was trying to use this situation in order to stop the spread of the gospel. The question for us is, our lives today as believers in Christ, are we blameless? Are we completely above reproach? Is there someone who can accuse us of something truthfully that we're doing or that we've done? Without doubt, you've heard the phrase, I am forgiven, I'm not perfect. And I really feel that people use this as an excuse. And last Sunday, I heard this just as if nothing has happened. People say this phrase. But the fact is that we shouldn't be able to be accused of anything, because the fact is a life that is full of faith, a life that is lived in the Spirit, a life that is guided and controlled by the Spirit of God, is a life that is completely blameless. The fact is, if you're living a double-sided life, other people are never going to listen to you. Those around you are not going to hear any of the words coming out of your mouth. Who listens to someone who claims to believe in something that they do not practice? Everybody knows that if you do not live in God's truth, those around us are not going to listen. A follower of Christ is irreproachable. Fourth, A follower of Jesus is one who has intimate communion with God daily. Let's look at verse 15. Don't let this verse weird you out. These religious leaders who were seated, they look at Stephen's face, and what do they see? Upon gazing at him, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Doesn't this seem a little strange? But the fact is, we see that this is exactly like something that we've seen before in the Bible. This is a reference to the book of Exodus, chapter 34, verses 29 through 35, when Moses went up on the mountain and he dedicated 40 days with the Lord. And when he came down, you know how that he looked? He was brilliant. They said his face was resplendent with the glory of the Lord, because he had been in communion with God. This is the manifestation of the glory of the Lord through his life, through the life of Stephen in this case. He was like an angel. He was like a spiritual being. How is this possible? This man that they are accusing is culpable of blaspheming the Lord, when in his faith, in his manner of acting and his mannerisms, he was like an angel. In spite of this fact, they still do not believe. This follower of the Lord demonstrated that he had this communion with the Lord, this time spent meditating on him. And how is it that Stephen attained this communion with the Lord? It wasn't something automatic. Do you know what he had to do? He did what Moses had to do. Spend time with God. He dedicated alone time to being with the Lord, supplicating himself, praying, meditating on the word. Moses, the Old Testament that he had, he didn't even have any of the commodities that we have today. But the priority that the communion had in his life is evident. You know, the Christian life shouldn't be as complicated as we make it today. Communion with the Lord is so simple. It's really one of two things. The first of which is dedicating time to prayer. And secondly, dedicating time to him in the Word. If these two things, if they form part of our lives, you're going to see growth. But obviously we have to have this desire to really attain more of the Lord. Communion with God is more than just reading my assigned reading. It's not, really the purpose is not just reading something that's required. This isn't something we say, oh, I have to go read my Bible. This is something that the Lord can speak to us through. Also, a life lived in prayer shows God a desire to live in a way that is according to His word, doing His will, and aligning yourself to His desires. Does my daily life demonstrate this communion with the Lord? This microphone is not cooperating today. Every moment, everybody in the back is trying to decide, is remembering that they have to fix the microphone. They know it's their fault. I'm just kidding, guys. But the fact is, daily communion and what I do every single day and in my daily work, it must show this communion with the Lord. I talk to the Lord about my desires, about the things that I long for, my struggles, the things that I'm feeling, and I rejoice in Him. How are you taking communion with God daily? The fact is, I hear a lot, obviously, about problems, about frustrations, about anxiety, things that are happening to the people around me. When I am talking to many of y'all about the problems that you have, or when I'm talking to certain people here in the church, it's kind of obvious that they're not living in communion with the Lord. Think about it. If we're living in communion with the Lord, we need to have more faith that when we're going through these struggles, these frustrations, our perspective is totally different. Our perspective is changed by this communion that we are having with the Lord. We believe in, the fact is that we believe in the Lord for our salvation, but not for our sanctification. The fact is, we show clearly how we're not putting Him as a priority in our lives. But the fact is that Stephen had this type of relationship with the Lord. A follower of Jesus lives in communion with Him. And this was the example given by Stephen. More, this was how he was able to face death. He intimately knew the one who had died and had been raised to life for him. And his life was in him. Next week, we're going to talk about how Stephen could face death in this way, even in possibly the most difficult circumstances. He followed the footsteps of his Savior, even in death, because his life was a life that showed this communion with the Lord. Do you consider yourself a follower of Jesus? How do you see, what does your life look like in comparison to the life of Stephen's? He wasn't an apostle, but he was a man, a follower of Jesus. Are you irreproachable in your life? Is there nothing that others can accuse you of? Can others see the wisdom of God in you? Can others see that you have fellowshipped with God? Maybe that they can't see that you fellowship, but they can see the evidence of that fellowship. Can others see that your faith in God? I was speaking with Brother Carlos this morning, and his job is ministering to others, non-believers. But the fact is, I saw his testimony and made me think about what my walk needs to look like. And realizing that this is all about sharing with others.